cup of tea and time for me. Half an hour with my heated rollers. Time to dream, time to scheme. Half an hour with my heated rollers. And the world seems to fly by in a permanent way. While all I want is a couple of curls and a good night out with the girls. So shut the door, who could ask for more? Half an hour with my heated rollers. Time to dream, time to scheme. Half an hour with my heated rollers. Half an hour with my heated rollers.
Hello. Hello. Welcome. Thank you. Welcome to the first in the series of Heated Rollers. I'm Linda Bellingham.
And I'm Gwyneth Strong.
And she's... Joe, tell them who you are.
Oh, sorry, hello, I'm Joanna Munro, and that is the Lorraine Bowen Experience. Excuse me, I'm on the phone.
All this on the phone, I just think it's so rude.
It's dreadful manners, isn't it? It's bad breeding.
Yeah, actually, though, before we start, perhaps we should just remind members of the audience to switch off their mobile phones, as well as the cast. Oh,
that's right, because if a phone goes off, it'll throw the whole recording.
Unless, of course, you have got one of those silent ones that just sort of pulsates, you know, sort of throbs.
Yes, well, if you've got one of those, you're laughing.
Very least smiling.
Yes, well, perhaps we better have those ones switched off as well.
Yes, yes, because as we race towards the new millennium, Heated Rollers wants to be that part of your day when you just switch everything off and relax. Mm?
Put your feet up.
Switch off everything.
Oh, except the radio.
What?
Oh, what? Yes. Good point, yes. Good point, Gwyneth. Switch everything off except the radio.
What about the kettle?
Oh, all right. Switch everything off except the radio, the kettle, the toaster, the electric blanket, the two-bar heater, the uplit picture of Cliff Richard, the lava lamp, and, of course, your
heated rollers.
Yes.
Now, to start this all-female sketch show, we do have a number of faxes of support from leading female luminaries.
And some very important women as well. The first one here is from Miss Cleo Lane. She's on a yachting holiday in the Med with Johnny, but she has been able to send us a message in Morse code.
And she says, beep, beep,
beep, beep, ba, ba, boop, ba, 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 boop, beep, beep, beep.
Thank you, we'll let you know.
I can let her know now if you like.
I've got a message here from Pat Butcher.
What, Morse code?
No smoke signals.
We've got a fax here, a very nice fax here from Bridget Jones. It says, I'm on the wrong side of a bottle of Chianti. I'm single. I'm in the wrong job. Nobody's phoned me up and asked me out. So there's no change there, then.
Yeah, and we've got one here from Edwina Curry. She says she's sorry she can't be here, but she's away on a cookery course with Delia Smith learning how to boil an egg. Yeah. Oh, I've got an unsigned one here, too, from the Queen Mother, I think.
How do you know it's from the Queen Mother?
It's written on the back of a betting slip.
And finally, Cher, who has very kindly sent us a signed photo of herself.
Oh, look at that beautiful dimple on her chin.
I think you'll find that's her belly button. Oh, anyway, excuse me, just a tick, yeah.
Joanna, what are you doing?
What? I'm phoning my bank.
But we've just lectured the audience on not using those things. We can't have one rule for one and one for another.
I suppose you're right. So does that mean that we could swap dressing rooms, Linda?
All right, then. I suppose just one quick call won't hurt. Yep.
You two have got dressing rooms.
Welcome to the Direct Bank. Nicola speaking. May I take you through security, please, starting with your postcode?
Yes, it's SE17-5LG.
And your surname and initials, please?
Thompson, HL.
From your password, Miss Thompson, could I have letter number 3?
A.
And the last letter?
N.
Thank you. And your mother's maiden name, please?
Malloy.
And could you tell me the square root of 23,896?
Yes, that's 1.46456.
Thanks. Now, moving on to round 2, could you explain the conditions in Weimar Germany that led to the rise of Hitler and the National Socialists?
Dissatisfaction with reparation payments along with spiralling inflation meant that... Look, I'm sorry, I really haven't got time for this. I just want to transfer £200 from my savings account to my current account.
I'm afraid you have to go through the security procedure, Miss Thompson, before any transactions can take place. Now, could you sing My Boy Lollipop in Welsh? Recite your school register backwards.
Look, I just want the money. Give me the money.
Miss Thompson, I've explained...
I've got a gun.
What?
I've got a gun. Now transfer £200 to my current account.
Okay.
Now slowly, no sudden moves. Could you hang on? That's my other phone. Hello?
This is the police, Miss Thompson. Put the gun down.
No. Back off, copper.
Don't be silly, Miss Thompson. Put the gun down and nobody will get hurt.
Yeah, but look, I only wanted to transfer some money, right?
Yes, okay. It's all over now. Calm down. Oh, my God. Now, let's get this incident sorted out, shall we? Is the lady at the bank prepared to make a statement?
Well, hold on. I'll ask her. The police would like a statement.
A statement, certainly. Let me take you through the security, starting with your postcode.
Woman, what do you think of what we men made? Look over there. Stonehenge.
What is it called, Ugg?
Stonehenge. You like?
It'd be better when it finished.
It is finished. Stupid mate. Why, I ask you, you stupid woman. Only good for mating. Me go down drink berry juice with clever men.
Sister, me no like this modern architecture. It's all form and no content.
Roll on Bronze Age.
Why?
Jewelry.
Sister, why men call us stupid?
Because we're clever enough to make them think we're stupid and weak.
Why?
So they be only ones clever and strong to hunt.
Oh, too dangerous. Big beasts.
Many men get killed.
Oh, me understand now. We're too stupid and weak to fight in war also.
Many men get killed.
Oh, me glad we not that clever.
Yes, we so stupid, we only stay at home, warm near fire, eat snacks, and make men weapons and rudely hewn tools.
For men to take to war for hunting.
Then they get killed.
Men very clever at getting killed.
It's what they do best.
Sister, what that big disc you make?
It is a new roly-poly device. Ooh. I call it wheel.
What's it for?
Men.
Why men?
To give them speed to get from one place to other pronto.
What places?
Oh, hunting grounds, battlefields.
Ooh, so now they're able to get killed quicker.
Yes, it's called progress.
Me glad, me not clever.
Me glad, me stupid.
Welcome, Ada. Welcome. I'm Doris Noakes, the renowned spiritualist medium and clairvoyant. I can see what many others are unable to see.
Have you got cable, then?
No, Ada. I have the sixth sense. It's brought me a degree of fame. I was a spiritual advisor to the England netball team in the 1978 Commonwealth Games.
Oh, crikey.
Now, shall we begin?
Oh, yes, please.
I shall now go into a trance-like state. I may be visited by the spirits, or I may not. They cannot be summoned against their will.
Sounds like Meals on Wheels.
Ooh, is there anybody from the other side who wishes to communicate with us? Is there anybody there? Yes. A man called Stanley wishes to speak.
Oh, that's my husband. That's my Stan. Hello, Stan. Now, have you got a message?
Yes, I have, Ada. Do not trust this woman. She is a charlatan. She's making it all up. Listen to my accent. It's terrible. I'm from Cardiff, for Christ's sake. She's a fraud, Ada. Don't give her no money.
But, Stan, if she's a fraud, how can you speak to me through her?
Oh, yes, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, yeah, OK, then forget I said anything.
Do you have any other messages for me, Stan?
Yeah, well, look after yourself. Don't forget to water the geraniums.
Is that all you've got to say? Look after yourself. Water the geraniums. Stan, you've made the ultimate journey. You have at your disposal the answer to every philosophical question ever posed by humankind. You've touched the very face of God, Stan. You know everything, past, present and future. Surely you've got something more to tell me.
Like what?
Like next Saturday's bloody lottery numbers.
The spirit is leading me now. You have transgressed the unwritten code and made a shallow attempt to profit from the spirits.
I'm sorry. I'm deeply ashamed.
So you should be. That would be £175, please.
And now on Radio 2, it's time for Wild World. This week, Daphne Attenborough explores the life of the puffer. Over the past few years, sightings of the puffer have increased greatly in our city centres, often observed gathered at the foot of a tall edifice, or office block, as it's properly known. It's now quite common to hear the puffer's plaintive mating call.
Go light, love.
In fact, the puffer has only two calls, the other being unique to this creature. So, what else do we know about this strange creature? Well, we know that some puffers are bold, prepared to congregate by the front entrance, whereas others prefer to lurk round the back by the fire escape. The puffer is also extremely wary of cuckoos in the nest.
Yeah, what's that you're smoking? Ultra light? Go on, clear off.
Defiant though it may seem, the puffer does, however, have one enemy of which it lives in permanent fear.
Oh, blimey, it's the boss.
Do look for the puffer outside non-smoking buildings in your city centre. Telltale signs are their droppings. Fag butts, cellophane wrappers and spent matches. The puffer. It's a dying breed.
Hello. Good evening, ladies. Thank you for attending my lecture. Now, my husband says I'm about the best bloody RAF wife you could bloody well wish for. Almost as good as being with the chaps, what? As such, I'd like to brief you on a typical morning, married life, our house. 700 hours, mate wakes. Roughage reacts, goes to the latrine. Oh, dear, bit of a sticky wicket. Botched preemptive strike, what? Bit of a Barnes Wallace. Oh, dear, dear, duty calls. I clean up mess. Well, we'll fight them with the bleaches. And then routine kitchen reconnaissance. Larder. Find that the bread, cheese and tea have all bought it. Tragic loss. Bingo, chalky and ginger over last night. Never have so few eaten so much. 0730, 100 hours, breakfast. Where we eat, scramble! 0800 hours, obligatory marital intercourse. Husband's body, basically sound, aerodynamic. Full naval display shows muscular fuselage and a jolly good undercarriage. Then it's open flaps, Dunlops dangling, great cloisters and chops away. In case you're wondering, take off and touchdown, vertical. Mind you, prior to marriage, husband was always a rear gunner, tail end Charlie, as we like to say. 0:30, landing, where we kiss goodbye as he takes off the station, then it's Roger and out.
And now on Radio 2, our classic serial.
It was an honour indeed to have taken up residence in Master Dorchester's house as the new governess. I had grown to expect little in life. In short, I was plain and short. Romance had passed me by. That was until I met the master himself. I was journeying back to Dorchester Manor some 17 miles, each mile colder and wetter, when I was startled by a gargantuan black stallion being ridden by the master himself.
Ye gods, ye peasant woman! What means ye frighten my good steed so? Why, it is your physiognomy that startled him and me alike. Do you not know at whom ye gape? I'm Lord Dorchester, a curse on you and all who dare tarry on my land. I presume the minister had to give you a name of sorts at birth, else the devil would have pilfered your soul. Well, speak out, wet one. Waste no more of midday.
My good lord, they did but call me Jane. Jane Eyre. I am the new governess to your young ward, a meander.
Jane Eyre? Jane Eyre? Well, you're not much to look at, are you, Jane Eyre? You've got nothing up top, so to speak. Well, let's see if you can last longer than your predecessor. I'll tell you what, Jane Eyre, if thou wast comely, I'd ride you upon my stallion and we'd be home within the hour. But alas, Jane, you're not very pretty at all, are you? So you can walk, damn it. We shall meet on more formal grounds tonight when we sup, unfortunately.
As I trundled the wet, ploughed fields back to the manor in the wind and rain and storm, my heart sang when all at once I knew I loved him.
And now on Heated Rollers, the Lorraine Bowen Experience.
Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? Not too tangy, not too sweet, it'll make your saliva glands weep. Not too juicy, not too dry, go on. Go on, give it a try. Oh, everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? A bit of custard, a bit of cream, it reminds you of your best dream. Anything you want with it, anything you like, but if you don't tell me soon, I'll be off on my bike. Oh, everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. In fact, I've got one in the oven. Would you like some? But what's that? What are you saying? What's that? I can't quite hear. What's that? Please don't mumble. Just take a bit of my crumble. Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. Key change. Everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. And again, everybody's good at cooking something, and I'm good at cooking crumble. I'm good at cooking crumble. I'm good at cooking crumble.
Welcome to Women Folk. This week I'm visiting St. Brenda's Home for the Elderly in Bury St. Edmunds to talk to Edie Wilkins, who's 100 years young today.
What do you want? We don't give to vagrants.
I'm Susan Collier from BBC's Radio Women's Folk. I'm here to talk to Edie Wilkins.
Oh, right. I'm the matron here. Come in. Wipe your feet. They're sick on the stairs, so mind. Now, I'll be acting as an interpreter for Mrs. Wilkins. She doesn't speak very clearly. She's in here.
Hello, Edie. I'm from the BBC. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Bugger off!
She says you're very welcome.
Now, Edie, 100 today, eh? Many happy returns.
Go stuff yourself.
She says thank you.
Up the jacksie.
Very much.
You're welcome, Edie. Now, you were born in 1899, so you would have been in your teens during the Great War. What sort of things did you get up to in those days?
I slept with everyone. Men and women, constant sex. And I smoked opium.
She says she worked in a munitions factory and polished her front step.
I'd imagine that despite the hardships and horrors of that time, there was a sense of common purpose and identity that made it, in many ways, a golden age. Is that right?
You've got a moustache.
Yes.
You look like Freddie Mercury, you do.
It was another world.
You lived in London during the Second World War, Edie. How different was life then from life in today's Britain?
I used to leave my door unlocked.
She used to leave her door unlocked.
All day and all night.
All day and all night.
Because I was a prostitute.
Not like nowadays.
And what about nowadays, Edie? You're in the St. Brenda's Home for the Elderly, being looked after by the matron here. Would you like to tell me about what life is like here?
Oh, yes. I'd love to tell you every last detail about what goes on in this godforsaken place.
She says, bugger off.
Oh, I think freedom's incredibly important, especially for children. We're very laid back with Tams and Max. You know, they're both seven. Both Roger and myself think it's incredibly important to just, you know, give them freedom. Just let them do their own thing. Let them develop as their own people. We haven't seen them for days, actually. Roger, where's the rescue remedy?
But they still manage to contribute to democracy in their own small way.
Ladies, when your husband goes off to the polling booth, why not make a nice cup of tea for him for when he returns?
Scientists argue that women should not be given the vote on medical grounds.
The woman's brain is different from the man's brain in two important ways. Firstly, it is slightly smaller. Secondly, it is made of polystyrene.
Later, this theory would prove wildly inaccurate.
I have just discovered my theory is wildly inaccurate. The woman's brain is not made of polystyrene at all. Oh, no. It is made of foam rubber.
Boffin's claim that ladies were not only unsuitable for electing a government, but should a woman ever become prime minister, the pressure would ignite the foam rubber and send her insane. Then she would probably destroy the manufacturing base of the entire country. But these frightening facts failed to cut any ice with Sylvia Pankhurst and her suffragette army. Oh, dear me, no.
We must all go on hunger strike to prove to men that we are intelligent human beings and not just objects of their desires.
This meant that not only were they noticed for their political views, they all had cracking figures to wow the gents with. Then a plan was hatched to disrupt Derby Day.
You all must throw yourself under the king's horse and make the supreme sacrifice for the cause.
Oh, do I have to? I've got 10 shillings on it to romp home.
Finally, they all chained themselves to railings until the Prime Minister, Mr. Asquith, had to act.
I have no choice but to accede to these women's demands and give them better railings.
Eventually, the Prime Minister was informed as to what their real demands were and gave them the vote. And from that day on, whatever government is in power, the women of the nation can rest easy in the fact that it's their fault too.
Every little step she takes.
Hi, how did the audition go?
It was great, really great. I actually felt like I was flying in there. The casting director could barely stifle his emotions. Had to stick a handkerchief in his mouth, and the director said he'd never seen anything approaching my performance in 25 years in the business.
Did you get the part?
No.
Oh.
No, but I was close. You know, the director reckoned that it was a case of the size of my talent acting as a sort of weird barrier that stopped me from being any good in the conventional sense.
What was the part?
Fourth passerby in the new carpet warehouse commercial.
Oh, darling, hard luck.
Thanks. How was your audition on Friday?
Oh, it was brilliant. I got into the role completely. I scared myself. I was so good.
Who got the part?
Some thin woman with a boob job.
Typical.
It was so close. You know, it was like when I auditioned for Wonder Woman. I would have got that part if I hadn't had that middle ear infection and thrown up every time I span round.
Yeah, well, I almost got Helen Mirren's role in Prime Suspect, you remember?
Yeah, I mean, what was it that went against you?
I was too true, Nicola. You know, I saw the inspector as a limping Welsh woman who smoked cocktail cigarettes and played the oboe on duty. I mean, I even took an oboe to the audition.
You'd have been much better than Helen Mirren.
Too right.
I mean, she's so ordinary in that part. I don't know how she gets the work, really, I don't. No.
Well, it's like Emma Thompson in Remains of the Day, isn't it? She's very ordinary.
Extraordinarily ordinary.
You were up for that.
Yeah, I got down to the last five. With me, Thompson, Helena Bonham Carter, Samantha Janis, or Sue Pollard.
Oh, very impressive.
An administrative error. They got me mixed up with Cherry Lungi.
That's happened before, hasn't it?
Yes. She once got a job offer that was meant for me and ended up doing 3 weeks dressed as a big tool outside Do It All in Croydon.
I mean, like, do you ever think this is never going to happen? I'm never going to be a successful actress and I should just chuck it in and get a proper job?
Let me tell you something. Mm. Every morning, I look in the mirror, and do you know what I see? Mm. Not a waitress, or a temp, or a lipstick demonstrator in John Lewis. I see the next Nicole Kidman, the new Kate Winslet, tomorrow's Sigourney Weaver.
Wow, and it's your self-belief that makes you see that.
No, it's the magic mushrooms. But yeah, my point is the same. Any day now, we could all be stars.
Yeah, you're right, darling. Any day now, we could all be stars.
Right.
Any day.
Yeah. Mm.
Look, about the magic mushrooms, have you got any more?
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Menopause. Its mission, to seek out new life forms, shopping centers, and facial moisturizers with liposomes. To boldly go where no middle-aged woman has gone before.
Will you turn that racket off?
I've got a headache. Captain's log. Stardate... Whatever, I'm hopeless with numbers. This is Captain Polly Ketlon. Since taking command of the Menopause, I've been experiencing low energy readings amongst the crew. After much deliberation, I've put this down to a basic lack of soft furnishings and color coordination on board the ship. I'm attempting with my first officer, Chintz, to rectify the situation.
Captain, I have some vital information which may alleviate the problem. Some lovely fabric samples from Alpha Centauri.
Oh, thank you, Chintz. For an android, you are so sensitive.
Captain, sensors indicate the presence of an alien ship.
Thank you, Ensign Huffy. Open all frequencies on screen.
I am Wicklow, captain of the spaceship Prospect. You have 5 of your Earth minutes to surrender your dilithium crystals, or you will be destroyed. I await your reply.
I need not remind you, Captain, that it's impossible to hand over the crystals.
Why, Chintzy, are they vital to the propulsion of the ship?
No, Captain. We made them into rather attractive jewelry for each other on Mother's Day.
Right. In that case, Chintz, hang on to your pearls. We're going into warp drive.
You mean we're going to attack?
No, it's late night shopping at Debenhams.
What if they follow us?
Oh, don't worry. They'll never get a parking space. It's Thursday. Captain's log. Morale has realigned itself on board ship after the installation of some beautiful throws all over the cup and saucer section. Not to mention the lovely peach festoon blind we've put over the bridge screen. We are now on course for the Delta of Brent Cross. Who knows what bargains we may find there. Engage.
Oh, congratulations, Captain. Lovely ring.
Well, I guess that just about wraps things up, don't you think?
Oh, sorry, I've just got to take this call.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello, this is the Corporation Bank customer service line. Nicola speaking.
Oh, fantastic. And Nicola, you're finally going to get round to dealing with my complaint. Right, now, you see.
Press 1 if you're crying. Press 2 if you're balancing on a chair with a length of rope around your neck. Press 3 if you've made the mental decision to close your account with us and stuff it all in an old sock. Or press all buttons if you think it makes any difference. I'm sorry. None of our operators are available to assist you at present. Please try again on next week's show.
heated roller star Joanna Monroe, Gwyneth Strong, and Linda Bellingham. It was written by